On this week's edition of Big Drive Energy, we've got multiple players making their debuts in different tournaments. We've got our personal athletes that we think could succeed on the PGA Tour, and another edition of Fairway or Four. All right, let's tee it up.
Hello, friends. Welcome to this tradition unlike any.
Did somebody scream mashed potatoes?
That was mashed.
What is going on, everybody? Welcome into another episode of Big Drive Energy. I am Big Drive Mitch. I am here with my brother, playing partner, best bud, Big Drive Spence. What's happening, brother?
What's up, dude? We are back at the DNVR bar. We're here in Studio B. We've got our Avs gear on. We're fucking ready to roll. We got some unfinished business with the Avalanche that we're going to hopefully take care of finally this year. I'm sick of the second round exits, as I'm sure the entire fan base is, as well as everybody here at DNVR. So we're excited to see if we can build on that, maybe bring a cup back to Denver. I heard the cup is going to be here this weekend at the DNVR bar, so you may want to come check that out. Get yourself a ticket if you can. But yeah, so this feels good, man. I'm wearing a Cale Makar jersey, getting ready to roll over to the Ball Arena. I can't remember the last time I've been at Ball Arena, to be honest with you.
I think we were there in the spring. I just think you have a bad memory, if I'm being honest.
I feel like we weren't allowed to go to games for a while, and then they just totally cut it off again. Like we
were
allowed.
It feels like it has been forever, and now it just kind of feels like it's back to normal, but it doesn't even feel normal. So it's all a little bit weird.
Yeah, I'm only about a half a Red Bull vodka in, so I'm not too excited yet. Like, I've noticed that since I've gotten older, unfortunately, like, I don't get as excited for shit anymore. Like, I don't know if that's just an old thing. Like, I still love the Nuggets and the Broncos and the Avs.
We might just be sad.
Yeah, sad could be it, but
just adults. I think adults are all kind of sad.
Yeah, like, know? I just used to remember waking up and having this fucking, like, pit in my stomach all night. Like, couldn't sleep, going to the Nuggets game the next day. And now I'm kind of like, fuck, I may just want to wash on my couch. Like, are we there? Are we already there?
I don't know. Are we
fuck,
there?
Fuck, I'm 27. Are we already there?
I don't feel old enough to feel like I'm there, but I think we're transitioning there. Like, I think we go to an appropriate amount of games. For those of you who don't know, real quick about the NHL is making its debut for the first time in 17 years again on ESPN and TNT tonight. So ESPN having hockey back is going to get a lot more exposure to all markets, which will be super cool. And the Avs have a shitload of primetime games this year. What are, like, some, like, 20 games?
Yeah, around 15, anywhere between 15 and 20 on ESPN and TNT. And they're playing that ESPN hockey music today, like replays from last night.
Oh, yeah, that shit'll get you going.
And just like we've talked about in golf, more exposure for the sport's never a bad thing. And so
totally.
I'll take it for hockey.
Hockey's kind of one of those sports where I wouldn't say the barrier to entry is as challenging as golf, but it's just not as frequently watched by people who don't know what it is. You know, once you watch hockey and you see the intensity and the crazy fans, it is so much fun. Like, Spencer and I just, I wouldn't say recently got into it, but we haven't been diehard since we were little. You know, we've kind of grown into the sport in our 20s, so we are very stoked about the Avs home opener tonight. Spence, how you been doing, man? What have your last couple weeks looked like? Or your last week, I'm sorry, since our last pod?
Dude, the week has been good. I had 3 days off in a row. I got to take care of, like, some personal shit on Monday.
Nice.
Oh, shut the fuck up. Okay, let me let you guys in on a little story here. Mitchell fucking never works, so he's always, like, complaining about how much he's working, but he's never
that
actually
is
working.
That is fucking funny.
Like, today, for instance, I've texted him this morning.
I worked, like, 5 hours,
oh,
okay?
Oh, yeah, fucking five
it
hours.
It was a long day. I watch a little Squid Game. Shout out Squid Game. That show's fucking insane. Okay, I think we are going to touch on a little bit of golf at some point here on this episode.
Well, no, I'm not done with my fucking story yet.
Okay, go ahead.
You're Mitchell's ass. I'm like, dude, all right, you can come in a little later today. Like, you come in at like 8:30. He rolls in like at 8:37, whatever. You know, I'm going to let it slide. But he rolls in at 8:30, and then all of a sudden...
I do what I want.
All of a sudden, fucking 1 o'clock rolls around. This motherfucker's out the door quicker than I can even say goodbye to him. And I found out I still have a meeting at fucking 2:30 that lasted until almost 4:30. So I wasn't happy about that. Mitchell's leaving early. Mitchell's pissing me off, so...
And then I'm leaving for Coeur d'Alene, Idaho to do some golfing tomorrow, so...
Yeah, so talk a little bit about that. Let's preview your Coeur d'Alene, Idaho trip real quick.
So I am playing... The plan is to play 3 different courses. I'm not positive what one is called. I'm playing the club at Coeur d'Alene, which is known for its island green, the one that you actually take a boat out to, the iconic one, so that's going to be pretty insane.
Yeah, don't they move that shit with a boat?
Yeah, they just pull it around. You can change distances with a boat. If you haven't seen it, Google it, look it up. But it's insane. They usually play it anywhere from 150 to 180, depending on the day. But, yeah, you literally take a little ferry over to the green. So, yeah, Google Coeur d'Alene Resort if you can figure out how to
spell that.
Coeurdalene.
Oh, I think that was massively fucked up.
No, wait. Dalene. I guarantee you that's correct.
All right, do it one more time.
Coeur space D apostrophe Alene.
Oh, wow. Good looking out.
Yeah. Most people have no fucking idea how to spell Coeur d'Alene. I didn't for the longest time. But
it's a city in northwest Idaho known for water sports on Lake Coeur d'Alene plus trails in the Canfield Mountain Natural Area.
I don't know why Spencer's reading fucking Coeur d'Alene's Wikipedia right now. But then I'm also playing, I want to say Gaza Ranch. If I'm not mistaken, Gaza Ranch is another...
Can we get a language of origin spelling on Gaza, please?
G-O-Z-Z-E-R. It's not a...
Oh, geez, that's... That
not some yeah, it's not some crazy-ass word. Not like gauze, like the shit you wrap around your arm.
That would have had any kid in the spelling be fucked up.
Oh, yeah, nobody knows what the fuck
they would have been drawn on the back of their little fucking name tag for 20 minutes trying to figure that one out.
And that place is just super pure. All these places are pure. I'm very lucky to be able to go on this trip. And then... the other place I'm playing is called the Ranch at Rock Creek. And unfortunately, I don't think... Actually, Coeur d'Alene, the resort course, is accessible if you play the resort or if you stay at the resort. It's not inexpensive, but then the other two are country clubs. So I've got a bit of a hookup. Shout out my boy Nick Clary. He's my boy.
Yeah, I can see the silver spoon sticking out of your mouth, so why don't you shove it back down your throat?
Okay, yeah, I'm gonna take that silver spoon and put it where the sun don't shine. But this is my first vacation in a hot minute, so I don't want to hear it from Spencer. He's been gone every other weekend, bachelor parties, weddings, just fucking living it up while I'm grinding away on the weekends. So I deserve this. I earned this. And if you don't want to admit that, then you can get fucked.
Okay, well, earned it is.
There we go. All
right, so on to a little golf. We had a couple of debuts this week. We had some lit, electric... All the other exciting millennial terms, adjectives, is that what that is, an adjective for a debut? Yes.
A debut is a noun, so you'd be describing a noun, so yes, that's an adjective.
Okay, so we had the one and only J.R. Swish.
Our boy.
First of all, he's a nugget. He's a thugget.
He's been a nugget. He will be a nugget till the day he dies.
I don't give a fuck who he wanted.
We raised him.
We raised J.R. Smith. He's fresh off the boat, partying with the L.A. Lakers. Now he's playing high school golf. Fucking high school golf.
He graduated high school. I'm not positive on
it's
that.
It's probably not. Who knows? I don't know. You may have to check his Wikipedia page. But so J.R. Smith is now playing golf for NCA&T. North Carolina.
Isn't it upstate?
Agriculture and technical?
I think.
Maybe.
Upstate?
No, it's NCA&T, bro. They're like the Chanticleers. No, that's not that's not them. Let me do some research here. I'm gonna filibuster while I do some research.
Yeah, so anyways, he made
NCA&T He's making this program famous, I'll tell you that much.
Oh, like, for sure.
Agriculture and Technical State University. Fuck yeah. Let's go. Point for me.
Basically, yeah. North Carolina's version of, or South Carolina.
North. North. NC. Okay. NC.
I'm sorry. North Carolina's version of Texas A&M.
You got South Carolina upstate in your fucking mind because Torrey Craig, that traitor fuck, went there.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And I'm glad you didn't win a title. No, he plays for the fucking Buck. The Brooklyn Nets now, I'm pretty sure.
Probably.
I'm pretty sure he plays.
Dead ass.
Dude, I'm just fucking going. This dude's just. Google fingers.
Just scorched Torrey earth on Google's Craig. Going.
Pacers. He's a Pacer.
Oh, well, he's not winning anything there.
Fuck that whole state and fuck the Colts. Can't even cover against a goddamn, can't even win a game against a goddamn Ravens.
Yeah, that
if
was.
If you know,
was,
you know.
That was a sore loss. Anywho, so J.R. Smith made his collegiate golf debut. I can definitely say I've seen him swing. It's not great. Like, he looks like a decent amateur that shoots in the mid-80s. But North Carolina A&T, why would they turn down that kind of pub, you know? It's putting their fucking program on the map. Give you a little idea of his swing. Sucks it way inside like a lot of amateurs do. Hands get a little deep at the top. He's got this little over-the-top move. He's going to hit a decent amount of pulls, decent amount of fades. I'm just giving people the facts. Like, it's just,
I love it.
Yeah, fucking, no, you don't.
No, I do.
Fuck you.
I actually love it. I was trying to make it funny.
No, yeah, like, finish up like nobody gives a shit.
No, which you're right about. Not at all. No, okay. Fucking let's go into it.
Liar. I already did.
Well, finish it up again.
I already did. If you weren't listening, then get fucked. Rewind it.
All right, fine. So, J.R. Smith made his debut in college at the, what was this tournament? It was in Arizona.
Was it? It was in Arizona? Are you positive?
Well, first of all, the motherfucker rolls up in a Bentley.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not sure if he traveled with a team to Arizona.
Like, they maybe took the team Suburban over.
Yeah, like he's not doing that.
Yeah, he probably flew private, landed, rented a Bentley, and rolled over to the golf course. Like, can you imagine playing with him?
No, can you imagine being some kid at some random-ass small Division II golf school, and you
are they D2 or are they D1?
That's a great question.
I think they might be small D1.
That is a great question.
I could be wrong.
No, you're probably right.
Like an FCS school, if you had to put it.
I think, yeah, you're probably right on that.
Like UNC is. I think they're like similar to Northern Colorado. Not a big D1 school, but they are D1. But I know for a fact if Spencer had to play with J.R. Smith, he'd shoot 100 because he would just be half rock, full... I don't really.
Can we say that?
I don't know. Yeah, I think he'd have a half chub.
Everybody knows what he's trying to say.
You'd be stiff the whole time. Let's just put it that way. And I'm not talking about your back. Spencer's just very.
It's either one thing is going to be stiff, and it's not my back.
And my back is limber. But Spencer just fangirls over a lot of athletes, especially Denver athletes that he sees. We did buy.
Dude, I'm getting better about this.
Yeah, you are getting a little bit better, but you still like look at them like, oh my god, they're
yeah, it's still pretty shocking.
Like the second coming of Jesus, they're like walking on water right in front of you, or was that God? I don't remember. But Spencer would definitely at least shoot 100. I think I would just be like motivated to beat the shit out of him. I'd be like, you can't. Oh, this is not your sport, bro. I'll murk you in this.
I tell you what, I would definitely be trying to get in a money game with JR for sure.
Little side action.
He shot 81 the first day, and he also got attacked by a swarm of bees.
I saw that. Yeah,
he got fucking
what a hero.
He stepped on a bee's nest while searching for his ball.
Dumbass.
So clearly, he's having a great round. He's
look
in the
where you're
leads,
looking,
searching for his ball. Yeah, it's at the Elon Phoenix Invitational. So he teed off number five, teeing off as the number five guy for North Carolina A&T. Smith proceeded to shoot 83, 78, good for plus 19 and solo 81 heading into Tuesday's third and final round. This is Golf Digest, by the way. Make sure I properly cite my sources. But he had to get in a medical cart called over after stepping on a beehive and searching for his ball in the woods. Currently on the 12th hole and now letting other groups play through while he's being evaluated. So nothing short of an electric debut for the one J.R. Swish, NBA champion, now living his dream, his true dream out.
Okay, let's just go back to how big of a dumbass Spencer is. Elon's mascot is Phoenix, the Phoenix. That is not where. God,
that's so fucking embarrassing.
That is not where the tournament was. It was. It was at Owlman's Country Club in North. I want to say that's in North Carolina. But either way, Spencer thought it was on a completely different side of the country.
Wow, I really fucking did my research here.
Yeah,
I just saw Phoenix, dude. What do you think of?
You didn't think possibly that.
When I think Phoenix, I think golf. But Arizona,
the only
PHNX.
Time Arizona, if you don't, okay, fair enough. Plug in PHNX. The only time they play collegiate tournaments in Arizona is when the weather's shit everywhere else in America. So they're not going to be playing it in October.
Yeah,
they're,
this is a serious mishap on my part.
So let's see where Owlman's Country Club is real quick. Or
are there bees in South Carolina or North Carolina? I didn't know.
Yeah, they have a lot of insects, dude. It's in North Carolina. You're a dumbass. Wow.
Okay, so he drove a Bentley to his own tournament.
I think, yeah. I mean, it's kind of...
Is he living in a dorm? Do you know?
I don't think...
Do we know?
He's probably living off campus if I had to take a shot in the dark. I'm sure he's got a pretty decent setup. I wonder if he's getting paid under the table at all. I don't know what... NCAA&T's budget is for that kind of shit, if they got any big donors. But yeah, so JR shot 81, what? 83? Something like that. Well, something not very good. And
I think he shot 78.
81, 78. Okay.
78. He opened up with an 83 before bouncing back with rounds of 78 and 81.
Okay. Yeah. So that's your average 8 handicap. I mean, maybe like a 6.
But, you got to admit, I don't know if you watch the highlights on Twitter.
He hit some really good shots. Yeah. Like, but that's the thing with the way he swings it. He's going to hit good shots, but his bad shots are going to be bad. Like 50-yard poles into the desert, apparently, as far as Spencer knows, down there in Phoenix.
Oh, fuck, that's so bad. Like, we should probably just cut the pod right now.
Yeah, we should probably just end it. But we'll keep going. We'll push through your idiocy. But we've talked about this multiple times going back to it. It goes to show you how hard golf is. A lot of guys, they're like, oh, golf seems super easy. You know, you're an athlete. You think you can do anything. But golf is very, very hard. And that may be the millionth time we've said that on this podcast, but I'll say it again. Golf's fucking hard. And J.R. Smith learned that firsthand this weekend. I mean, kudos to him. In all honesty, breaking 80. Is pretty impressive because, you know, there's a little bit of pressure. Yeah, I'm drinking Breck Brews. It's got me all fucked up here. But there's a lot of pressure. So imagine this. Let's line up two things side by side here. J.R. Smith winning like an NBA Finals, like you have a 3-pointer to win the NBA Finals versus like sinking like a 10-footer to win a collegiate event. I don't think there's any side by side, you know, like I think that's why JR could possibly do this. And we are going to touch on what athletes we think could succeed on the PGA Tour that are non-golfers completely. But JR has been in so many big moments in his NBA career. Like, I don't think, and I could be wrong, but I think the amount of pressure he can take on is a lot more than some random college kid playing golf from North Carolina. So kudos to him, man. I respect it. He's talking all over Twitter about getting an education. Totally respect that. Do your thing, man. A lot of people don't have the net worth he has to be able to afford to go to school full time and play golf as a 30-some-year-old.
36.
Damn, he's old, bro. Well, wasn't he like 19 when he started with the fucking Nuggets?
Yeah. Yeah.
So he was literally 17 years ago.
Yeah. Wow. We were 10. That's crazy.
Yeah, that grew up with JR.
JR was our boy. I think one of my first ever jerseys was a JR Smith jersey. But here's another thing. Does an 83, 78, 81 tell you, like, that tells me that he's like, this isn't a complete publicity stunt. You know what I mean? Like, there was other college kids that have grinded their whole lives. He beat three of them. He was 81st out of 84.
Okay.
So, like,
a couple guys had some rough weeks. Yeah, but no, completely. Like, if you just shot 95, I'm like, this is a fucking joke. Get him off the course.
Yeah, I can shoot 95 at a fucking college tournament still.
I would hope so.
Barely, but I can do it.
Keep in play. But yeah, so we had to talk about JR's debut. Pretty darn cool. like I said, kudos to him. He is dipping his toe in a little bit of a different pond, and we will kind of keep track and follow what he does, because it seems to be all over ESPN all the time anyways, what his collegiate career looks like with college golf. So, Spencer, who else made their debut this week?
So, Little John, John Daly's son, John Daly Jr.? No, what's his name? It's not John Daly Jr.
Fuck.
No, I think it is, maybe.
I think Little John. I think, yeah.
Okay, John Daly Jr. made his debut.
JDJR.
And he definitely takes after his dad. You would hope so.
Tail of two rounds.
So he fires 83. So J.R. Smith's got a one-stroke lead on him. This is different tournaments, okay? John Daly plays for
this
Arkansas.
This one's not in Phoenix.
This one's definitely not in Phoenix. Hey, maybe it is. I don't know. I didn't look that up.
But. I think they still play in Arkansas. They're in the...
Probably the SEC somewhere.
Yeah.
Southeastern Conference. Who is now no longer... has two teams in the playoff because Iowa's number two. Quick plug.
We're a DNVR podcast, but we do like some Iowa Hawkeyes, so you got to respect that.
But anyways, John Daly shot 83, so JR's up one round, up two strokes on him. And then he followed it with a 68, so talent definitely there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, dude. His swing is so good.
So give me a little rundown on his swing.
Lil John, his club face is in a really strong spot at the top. And that's where golf is going now, is a lot of guys are getting their club faces in more of a strong position. That's what we like to call it. You could call it shut, but it's not necessarily shut because it allows you to have that rotational freedom. So then he pivots really efficiently. If you don't know what pivot means, it means you rotate properly. So you're turning through. He doesn't have a pivot stall or anything. He's got pretty high hands at the top, if I recall correctly. I don't have the video in front of me. But then he rotates his ass off, gets his chest way open, and just hits it super pure. And he's long as hell. Like, he hits it really long. His swing's definitely not as long as his dad's is. It's more of a modern golf swing. His dad's is definitely old school a little bit. He gets across the line at the top. Club face a little open or neutral, I'd say. Definitely not closed. And then and kind of just wheels it down at the end and somehow hits it pretty straight for the most part. I mean, he's had his days like everybody, but you win a couple of majors and win a bunch of other shit, then you're doing pretty well for yourself. But him and JD swings look nothing alike. Like Tiger and what's his son? I forget his son's name.
I know
name.
He's 11. That's all I know.
Well, I know, but I'm just saying, like, their swings actually look fairly similar. I think Tiger's son is kind of emulated.
What's his son's name?
I wanted to say Eldrick, but isn't that Tiger's
That's
actual
Tiger's
name?
Tiger's real name.
Yeah. I don't know.
Perry?
Fucking Fuzzy Woods. I have no idea. I can't remember. But JD, Little
Charlie.
John, Charlie, thank you. Yeah, Little John Daly's swing looks nothing like his dad's, but I think he will be very successful. We've seen him at... the PNC father-son challenge. He's played with his dad a few times. And even when he was like 13 or 14, he was starting to bomb it. And we were all waiting for his college debut for him to get out there and see what he could do. But I think it's really cool. He's following his dad's footsteps, going to Arkansas, Woo Pig. They're just a bunch of rednecks that I'm sorry. I'm not.
Oh,
like,
wow. I just don't think we can do that here.
We can't say that.
Canceled.
Canceled. Well, okay. I'll tell you this. If nobody's ever seen this clip, John Daly owns a golf course in Arkansas that he mows his own greens and shit. And they did a TV interview with him on his golf course. He had a pair of jeans, no shoes, no shirt on, drinking a beer. And I think he like holed out for eagle on this little news clip that some local Arkansas news did for him. So if that's not redneck, I don't know what is. Like, tell me, and I wouldn't say redneck's even that derogatory of a term. It's a little backwoods shit out there in Arkansas.
When we don't get to record a podcast ever again, we'll know why.
Yeah, that's fine. It's not fine, but we'll figure it out.
All right, so a little more facts.
Cut it, Spencer.
A few more facts on John Daly II, which I fucked up his name. He's going the official website, Arkansas website. He goes by John Daly II, so I don't want to mess that up. He played as an individual. His team, he did not make the trip to the Carmel Cup at Pebble Beach, unfortunately for him. But he did play the Blessings Collegiate Invitational this weekend, where he made his debut, which is what we're talking about, I think. And it's right by the campus in Fayetteville, Arkansas. And he's playing, like I said, playing as an individual, so his team doesn't count. His score doesn't count towards the team score. But like I said, finished 11 over 83 in the first round, with just one birdie, six bogeys, and three doubles. And, you know, like, we all got the first round nerves. I get them every round that matters. It doesn't ever stop. But then in the second round, he bogeyed the second hole and then got rolling, made seven birdies and two bogeys the rest of the way to shoot 4 under 68, which is fairly impressive because the 68 was basically one of seven rounds at 68 or lower in the entire field at this tournament. So well done for him, but he's ready to rock, man. I feel like he's got the first round jitters out of the way. And
well, he's played two rounds, so yeah.
Well, yeah, but he shot 78 the last day, finished the tournament 13 over, 49th out of 52 players. So him and JR both not the worst, but not the best either. Not the best debuts.
No.
One might have a future in golf. One, like, what is JR's goal here? Like, do we know?
To get a degree.
Does he want to, like, be a lawyer or something? Or,
I have no idea.
What is A&T known for? Agricultural and technical,
yes,
probably.
Yes, dumbass.
That's probably why they're called A&T.
Louise. Spencer's on a roll today. Yeah, I'm not sure what he's getting his degree in. I don't think that's what they're talking about on ESPN, unfortunately. I'm not sure if they care what his major is. But so that got us thinking when we thought about JR playing playing collegiate golf. Like, what other athletes do you think could make the transition from not golf to golf?
Well, I think
either during their career, after their career. So, and we're not going to just throw out the obvious ones, because Tony Romo, there's a few guys that have had not professional starts. They've played in professional events as amateurs, but there's some really, really good sticks. But we're talking more about guys who don't golf that we think could possibly succeed in golf.
Well, I think it's not necessarily fair to say this because he doesn't not golf, but I feel like he's a pitcher, MLB pitcher. We're both his guys.
Kyle Freeland. Yeah.
He could definitely make, because when you're a pitcher, so Tom Glavine, incredible golfer.
And John Smoltz,
both incredible golfers. We know Michael Jordan's a great golfer. We know Steph Curry's a great golfer. We're not gonna pinpoint easy ones here, but I do believe Kyle Freeland, like, he has that just competitive edge. And golf doesn't
He's a
seem
grinder, yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like a sport where you need to have, like, fire. It doesn't. Tiger had fire, and he brought fire to the game, much like Tom Brady's brought fire to being a quarterback, and people respect and love that, and that makes them fans of him and makes his brand grow.
Yeah.
But Kyle Freeland's definitely a guy I could see coming hopefully onto our pod at some point.
I
also
love that.
Playing professional golf.
Big Kyle Freeland guys. And I agree, and that's the thing, like you said, you have to have fire, but it has to be focused in a certain direction. Like golf, and I would say golf and pitching are almost similar with the precision, the mechanics. There actually is a few similarities with arm positions with pitching and the golf swing, which is pretty insane. But I definitely think Kyle Freeland, and a lot of pitchers are good golfers. There was a pitcher, I can't remember his name, he pitched in the Diamondbacks organization, and he's now winning on mini tours down there after he retired. So, and I don't even know if he necessarily retired. I think he kind of had a run-of-the-mill MLB career, you know. Run-of-the-mill MLB career, I don't say that lightly, but now he's actually winning on the mini tours, like playing very, very good golf. So, definitely doable. I'm going to go in a little bit of a different direction here. I'm going to stay with the hometown teams. But I think Jamal Murray would be a very good golfer if he actually, like, put his mind to it. He's kind of got the build for it. And also, he's just got that insane focus and that mentality and, like, that all that Zen stuff he did with his dad when he was a little kid and all the meditating, things like that. Just the mental awareness and the focus. I think Jamal brings that to the table that a lot of athletes don't have. And physical capability does bring part of it in the equation, whatever. But I think mentality is definitely what sets Jamal Murray apart, like just the way he thinks and the way he carries himself as to playing golf successfully. Like anybody can make a good golf swing eventually, you know, with the right instruction, this and that. But the mentality is what sets those apart from the others. So I think Jamal would be a pretty damn good professional golfer if that was something he really decided to do. But I think we remember last year when they were down in Florida during the pandemic in the bubble, the Nuggets posted a video of all the guys swinging golf clubs.
Yeah, remember, and that was our first podcast as DNVR employees. Like,
I think it was.
As people of the DNVR verse, this DNVR family that we all love, we were...
Was that about a year ago?
Dude, yeah, it was at least a year ago. It was like last August, I think.
Okay,
like,
yeah,
it
when
was
the bubble?
Ago,
I forget.
Full year ago.
Okay. Yeah, the bubble feels like it was a while ago, but... Yeah, and the only person on the Nuggets who knew how to swing a golf club was Paul Millsap, the old head. So I don't foresee a future career for Jamal Murray, but you never know. He's got a lot of time. He's only, what, 23, 24? Something like that. I can't remember. But, yeah, that's got to be one of my picks.
That's a great pick. Because, once again, competitive fire. Give us a couple lessons with Jamal Murray. You never know. You never know where his position will be once you get Big Drive Mitch, who's a swing god, swing legend in the lab with Jamal Murray, but he's going to be on the shelf for a while. All right, so I have this interesting article that I found, kind of relating, well, completely relating to what we're talking about. And this is an article from Golf Digest, once again, top athlete golfers. And, you know, it mentions the same, the Rafa Nadals, apparently he's a great golfer, Steph
Tennis
Curry.
Tennis players definitely would be good golfers.
Tony Romo,
also,
et cetera. And so, baseball, it's got these guys' motherfucking handicaps.
Oh, it does?
Yeah,
okay.
This is a great article. I'm going to shout out.
Let's do a guess that handicap.
Okay, I will. This is by Cliff Schrock, Golf Digest. This is actually great. All right, so.
What year was this written?
2018. So
okay,
this is a couple years
recent.
Old, so but fairly recent. All right. The number one in baseball, the number one handicap, that now they've said they've contacted agents, leagues, blah, 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 but this seems pretty legit. So the number one MLB player, so this
with
is
the,
funny,
the
like
lowest
the first
handicap.
The first like 12 dudes I'm scrolling down are all pitchers, so it makes sense.
Yeah, yeah, completely.
They work 1 out of 5 days.
And
kinda
they also
sounds like
really
Mitchell,
don't work on their
to be honest.
Wow. Wow, that's fucking, that cuts deep.
All right, anyways. All right, plus 1.9 handicap.
Is this retired or active?
This is, I can't tell if he's been, you'll know this name, so I'll give you that. So this blank reliever travels to the golf course in his pickup truck with 15 to 20 pairs of golf shoes. One of our editors can attest to this. X player can hit a 3-iron 260 yards. He's a reliever. He's been around the league. Famously a Washington National.
Oh, fuck.
Plus 1.9.
I need your help. Give it to me.
Hit me. His last name is something you cut your hair with. You do this to your hair.
Tyler Clippard?
Hey, there you go. Plus 1.9.
Okay.
All right. Coming in fourth place. So
Just throwing this out there, I was about to say Edward Scissorhands. I don't think he's a reliever for the Nationals.
That'd have made great content.
Yeah, my fault.
Anyways, so next up, John Smoltz. We talked about him, a plus 1.5. Jeff McNeil, Mets infielder, 0. And our boy, Kyle Freeland, a 0.2 handicap.
He's
so we
stick.
Were not far off.
He would whoop your ass, dude.
Oh, he would. Well, we'll have to get that. We'll get video.
We actually
need
to make that happen. Kyle, we're going to hit you up. We're going to get you out on the golf course. We need to make some content with you, bro. But I definitely think that you've got a decent shot. I bet he hits it a long way. He's, what, 6'4"?
Yeah, and he swings the bat well, too.
Yeah, he
like,
does.
He's a pitcher that is nice.
That actually might go against him in his golf swing, though. You don't know
But
that.
There's power there. Yeah. And then going on with the next couple MLB players, Aaron Hicks, Zach Greinke, Craig Stammen, Dan Otero, Bud Norris, Ian Happ, Jason Hamill, Shelby Miller, Adam Wainwright.
Real quick, I don't think Zach Greinke would be any fun to play golf with.
No.
He's just a big old fucking
bottom two player in the MLB to play golf with, and he's not two.
Who's the other one?
He's not two. I don't know who's two.
Oh, okay.
He's just not two.
Okay, he's the fucking worst player in the league.
Weirdo. Complete weirdo.
He's probably, yeah, he's got some weird rituals and shit.
All right. So we know Steph Curry, he's a zero. All right. This player has a zero handicap, according to this source. Two-time NBA champion will go into the Hall of Fame this year, 2018, and has held the blank blank Ray of Hope Foundation Celebrity Golf Tournament. He's made four holes in one.
As a basketball player.
And he's a
player.
Zero. He's a zero handicap.
How long ago did he play?
He retired probably 2 years ago. He was a Celtic.
Oh, Ray Allen.
Okay, yeah. Good. Very good.
Yep.
Michael Jordan with the sloppy 1.9. Wow, he's getting cooked. And they do have J.R. Smith on here as an eight.
And that was a couple years ago. I bet he's like a legit five right now, like a four or five. Not knocking it, but that's generally not college golf material.
All right. We'll move on to the NFL.
Okay.
Kicker. Imagine that. Plus 2.2. He made his name famously, I think, as a Titan. We've watched him play a ton of football.
Oh, isn't he on national broadcast?
No, I think he's still kicking, or he's like one of those dudes that just sits around the league and waits till like somebody's kicker gets hurt and probably like show up. He may still be in the league. I'll find out.
Who is it? But,
no, just guess. Titans kicker. How many Titans kickers have there been?
Well, it feels like it's been a while. I can't.
Oh, he's still in the NFL. He kicks for the Bucks. Come on. I didn't know that he kicked for the Bucks, obviously.
I'm drawing a blank.
Ryan Suckup.
Dude, I was actually going to say Suckup.
Well, fucking just say it. Let it fly.
I didn't want to feel like a dumbass.
Let it fly next
time,
dude.
Suckup.
You're pissing me off.
My fault.
Him fly.
What is he, a plus 2.2?
Plus 2.2. So, pretty impressive stuff from Mr. Suckup. Not a great last name for golf, but, you know, whatever. And then we got Matt Ryan's a plus 1.2.
Pretty yeah, he impressive. Seems like he's been playing a lot of golf because fucking football game is shit.
And Brett Kern, so Titans kicker at this time and Pro Bowl punter.
Okay.
Both plus handicaps. So I guarantee they're not doing a lot of work at practice. They're just worried about what time their tee time is.
Yeah, their tee time.
100%. Their tee time is after practice.
Where's McManus?
They have Peyton Manning listed as a 3.5.
Okay.
So not bad. Not bad for
respectable.
Showing for, the sheriff.
Aaron Rodgers is definitely lower now.
He's a 4.3 on here. This is 18, so, I mean, not bad. If you're a 4.3, you're pretty much a scratch golfer. You can try to compete.
Does it not have McManus anywhere on that? Because I think he's, like, scratch.
Kyle Fuller, apparently a better golfer than a corner because he's an 8.8.
He got his shit cooked last weekend.
8.8
handicap. That Broncos game.
Kyle Bacon Fuller. they have Josh Allen even on this.
Really?
As an 11, but they are doing our boy Brandon McManus a disservice.
Yeah, for those of you who don't know, Brandon McManus is a member at a Colorado Golf Club, which is about 15 minutes from the Valley of Fun. Feels like a different world, but it's pretty close, actually, from a geographical standpoint. And I want to say he's around a scratch. And I know that our buddy Justin Sternad, the linebacker for the Broncos, he wants to get me out on the course of Brandon McManus because obviously McManus has no clue who I am. And we're going to get a decent-sized money game going. I just want to hustle the shit out of McManus, take his diaper money from him. But I don't know. Like, it's going to be tough to do. I would be fairly starstruck playing with McManus, personally. I still think I'd beat him, not easily, but I'd beat him for sure. I'd feel pretty good about that. I wouldn't be throwing, $5,000? Justin said something about, I don't know, a unit, a pretty decent-sized unit. Down on this golf
match. We don't talk money. We talk units.
Yeah, we.
That's the respectable way to talk about gambling.
Just a huge unit.
Just
one large unit
on that.
Yeah, it looks
and
like
then
a division
so
side.
Johnny Manziel is a six.
Okay, but now
he's trying to play pro golf, so he's never gonna make it.
Which is just dumb. Like it's
Johnny Manziel, better pro golfer, better pro football player. Go.
Do you know what? Yeah, it's tough to say. Do you know what professional golf is if you're not really good enough to make it? A giant waste of money. And I know that firsthand. Like, I
Well, he's a silver spooner and played in the NFL, so he's.
Oh yeah, he's got daddy's oil money out there on the golf course. Like, he's like every other Texas A&M kid that's ever lived, but he's not going to make it professionally. He's given himself a certain amount of time. I don't know why people think they can just step into golf and do it. You know, it doesn't really make sense to me.
So we'll go into hockey real quick since it's Avs opening night. We're going to be
there's some good sticks if. People don't know hockey players are really good golfers.
No, and looking at the handicaps, like there's way more dudes at pluses than any other sport.
Well, and it's because partially because they're off all summer. So they have all summer to golf. It's cottage season. They're up in their cottages up in Canada or Northern America and Minnesota, Wisconsin, whatever. They're golfing their asses off. And their swing is like a hockey swing is not completely unlike a golf swing. It's I'd say a hockey swing is more similar to a golf swing than a baseball swing for sure. Because you're hitting something off the ground.
Yeah,
so
and
you're
you
kind
have
of
to, like,
controlling your low point.
You have to like keep that stick low. Like I tried to swing a hockey stick once. I got on the Avs ice after a game, tried to hit a slap shot. It was horrid, but I can understand the feeling of like keeping the blade low through the swing and like making good contact. And you absolutely have to do that with a hockey puck. Same with a golf ball. So I understand these rankings now, and so I'll give you the top hockey player in golf in 2018. This is Anthony Manta. It was a plus 3.2. 6'4 winger, plays in several charity golf outings. The first Av I can find, Avalanche player, I don't know,
Avalanche player.
Not really, yeah, Avalanche player, is our boy, currently ranked number 2 in the last player ranking, Nathan MacKinnon. He's a 4.
He's not a 4. That's false.
Well, you know what's funny is this is just golf for you. Like, we've never seen the dude play around a golf. The only time we saw him swing a golf club was when he absolutely shit-pumped one into the shit.
Well, he also
at
did
Tahoe
a sandbagger when he was spitting chiclets.
Oh, okay.
And it didn't look good.
Okay,
it was,
so he's not a 4. This is all.
He's a sandbagging son of a bitch.
We're throwing all this out. This yeah. whole article, everything we just talked about for the last 15 minutes, out.
No, I mean, I don't think he's who knows where he thinks he's a 4 at, but he's not a 4.
he's entering those.
I will say, like, Ryan Whitney, who used to play pro.
He got a vanity handicap.
Yeah.
Not even a sandbagger. He's got a vanity handicap.
Oh, yes. I'm sorry. It's the opposite. But Ryan Whitney, who does the hockey podcast, Spittin' Chicklets, and also does used to play for the Boston Bruins, he played for the Penguins, Oilers. He's like a plus 2, 2.5. Like, he's a fucking good stick. He qualified for the Massachusetts Amateur, shit like that. So he's a good player. Like, he's no joke, but he wasn't a very great hockey player anyways. So better be good at something, right? But there's guys like that in hockey that transition so smoothly into golf. It's fucking insane.
Yeah, so we've gone over NFL, NHL, MLB, NBA. So these are pretty impressive stuff from these guys, being plus handicaps and also being professional athletes and probably way better at the other sport. But speaking of the NFL and DraftKings Sportsbook, who this podcast is brought to you by, of course, we're already into week 6 of the NFL season. Please slow down at some point. I'm begging you. And DraftKings Sportsbook is still giving you a chance to win big with betting $1 on any NFL game and winning $100 in free bets if any team in the game you bet scores a point. So there hasn't been a 0-0 tie in the NFL since 1943, which feels like 2000 at this point. Feels like forever ago. This is basically a no-brainer bet. And DraftKings is now also offering same-game parlays, so you can combine multiple bets. I do this every Broncos game. I've been just a few off the last couple of games. Last game, I was a Big Ben pick and a Javonte Williams touchdown, which he got tackled at the 2-yard line, heartbreaker, away from like $1,300. Not a big deal or anything, but I was close. And so you can do the same game parlay now, just flip that switch over to on, and you can bet like 5 or 6 things from one game and make that payout massive. So DraftKings is the site you guys need to use. It's the site we use all the time. It's a site we get all our odds from, especially when we're talking about betting golf. So make sure you head over to DraftKings. It's safe, reliable, and secure. And you can deposit and withdraw any of the money that is in your account at your convenience.
Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use the promo code DNVR. Bet just $1 on any NFL game and you win $100 in free bets if either team scores a point. Promo code DNVR. This week only at DraftKings Sportsbook. You must be 21 or older. Colorado only. New customers only. Restrictions do apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you have a gambling problem, please call 1-800-522-4700. All right. Couple quick stories we're going to touch on before we get to Fairway or Four. Thank you guys all for your votes last week on Fairway or Four, by the way. A couple quick stories in golf I want to touch on is, first of all, this is insanity shit. This is just Captain Insano, Banana Land type of scenario. So this girl, high schooler.
I saw that.
Shoots 57.
I think she's a sophomore in high
school.
She's
a sophomore in high school. She shoots 57. She's from North Carolina, not Phoenix. And so her name is Reagan. Or no, her name is
That's high, the high school she goes to.
Reagan High School's Macy Pate posted a 57 to capture the Central Piedmont 4A Conference Championship. She went on a fucking insane birdie run. And she won the tournament. Like, her teammate shot 64 and lost by 7 shots. Like, can
that
you imagine that?
Insane.
That is full banana land.
I might quit golf.
Yeah, like, so her team had first, second, and third place. She shattered the North Carolina high school record by over 4 shots.
Probably the all-time high school scoring record.
Well, it's got to be close to that, which it was currently held by LPGA professional Jennifer Chang. And she goes, in a quote, this is also from the Golf Digest, "It's really hard to describe what was going on. I just sort of hit the shots and tried to make the putts when I had chances." Well, it sounds like you had a fucking chance every hole. Because if you shoot 14 under in a fucking golf tournament,
yeah,
as
got
a sophomore,
pretty
like,
good, that's insane.
Her mom probably had to drive her to the golf course.
I hate to say it, but that's got to be peaking. Like, that's peaking for her. I don't, and even making it on tour, she'll never come close to 57 again.
And then the course was almost 5,000 yards, so it's not like it was a pitch and putt, not a par 3. This is a par 71.
Yeah.
57. Like, that's, I can't even fucking
bonkers.
Wrap my head around that.
That is stupid low. Like, people are just starting to go lower and lower and make more birdies. I don't even get it, man. It's fucking insane. That is wild.
Her career seems hosed. Like,
that's
I don't
saying.
Know
like,
what
you
can
early
do
like that. You're 15, you shoot 57. Where can you go from there? How do you go up from there? You don't.
Yeah, like you can't. Like, 54 is possible. There's like a book about that, basically saying you can birdie every hole, especially at your home course, because you have before. And it's obviously a help book. I read a lot of golf help books, but like I. Reading that, I still don't believe it. Like, I would have loved to just be a fly on the wall.
Also, yeah. Yeah, that, imagine the girl playing with her probably shooting like 87. Like, what the fuck?
Like, feeling great about it. Like, feeling like she's about to qualify for her state championship.
Yeah.
And this girl's out here firing 57. Not even on 9 holes. That's fucking
on a full, yeah, like, she comes in, she goes, "I shot 57. You're like, "What'd you shoot on the back 9? No, that's all 18. That's, yeah, there's not really words to describe how insane that is.
All right, and one more story. So shout out to her. Incredible round. Girls golf is just on a huge upswing right now. These girls are all seeing Nelly Korda and Jessica Korda and just getting hyped up and now firing 57s, which is just fucking unbelievable.
Phenomenal.
But, all right, I'm going to give you, this is a little quiz. Before we start Fairway or Four, I want to give you a little quiz. You give me the player on tour, I'll give you their stats since 2017 and where they rank on the PGA Tour. 98 events, first.
Okay.
Rounds, 342, first. Birdies, 1,413. Did I say this is since 2017?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. First. Rounds under par, 223, first. Rounds in the 60s, 181, first. Rounds of 67 or less, 86, first. Eagles, 41, second. Name this PGA Tour player since 2017.
Fuck. Justin Thomas.
And
Patrick Reed. Daniel Berger.
I'll give you a hint. He just won a tournament shooting 24 under. Fuck. Won the last tournament on the PGA Tour.
This just makes me look bad because I don't know who won the last event on the PGA Tour.
Sungjae Im.
Holy shit.
This dude is churning out the rounds, he's churning out the tournaments, and balling the fuck out.
Okay, well, so there was an article about him. That makes sense because he's number one in rounds. There was an article about him that came out, what was it, either last year? Was he a rookie? Or a rookie? No, he was a rookie in 2017, I would say. But he is full status PGA Tour and does not have a home in America. So he literally plays in every event he can. When he has a week off, when they don't play, he'll go get a hotel room at some random place and practice at some court, you know, wherever he's at. But he legitimately does not have a home. He lives out of hotels in America. I think he's Korean. Is he Korean?
South Korean?
Oh,
yeah. Remember we talked about this?
Yeah. I want
to South Korean.
Okay. Props to us for the geographical reference. Yeah, he doesn't have a home over here, but he's a full-time PGA Tour status guy. So he's a grinder, dude. I think he lives to play golf.
Dude, he loves it. He absolutely loves
the
game. And that I love to see that.
Yeah, that's awesome. That
he almost won the Masters last year against Dustin. Like, it's a guy that is completely dominating on the PGA Tour in terms of all those stats. And like you said, fuck, he's like, I don't have anywhere to live. I might as well fucking play next week and the week after. And
yeah,
week
he's
after.
Exempt for all of them. Might as well fucking play in them. That's what he does. He's a grinder. He's a golfer.
Absolutely.
He's doing what he loves.
Grinder. Gruden grinder.
Respect it, man.
Not too soon. Too soon. Too soon on that. All right.
I don't think we'll see that clip anytime soon.
We're going to wrap up this pod with our new segment. It's not really new anymore. It's the second episode of this segment. We appreciate you guys getting on Twitter and voting. Do it again. We're gonna tweet these out, and we're going to get you guys' votes on them. So from last week, some of our fairways are four, being the green text guy in a group, 83% four, 17% loser. No, 17% Android people. That's fine. You know, whatever you got to do. Sam, if you're out there listening, I know you have an Android. I love you. I'm sorry you can't be in our group text because we just don't allow that. Wearing non-matching socks. We got 77% four and 23% women.
No,
I honestly, like, that's not sexist at all. I've never seen a dude, except for Logan Lenz. I've seen him do that.
He's
I lived
a psychopath.
With him. Yeah. I've seen him toss on two non-matching socks. I've almost never seen a dude do that. But Kylie, I love you, but she's always putting on different socks. Our dog eats half of her socks. So she just puts together two random semi-white, semi-the same color socks.
Kind of doesn't have a choice.
Absolutely insane still. I would never do that. I'll never leave the house without matching socks. And one of our last ones we put on Twitter, the Rockies paying Antonio Senzatella and CJ Crone 73% fairway.
Okay.
So they were the people were on. With non-interim permanent GM Bill Schmidt from the Rockies paying pitcher Antonio Senzatella and first baseman tearing it up to hitting 280, 28 bombs, CJ Crone. All right, for our fairway or four this year, I'm going to start it out.
Today, this episode, not this year.
Wow, dude, that Red Bull vodka is hitting me.
Yeah, Spencer's.
Yeah, okay, this is embarrassing already. We're going to move on. All right. So this is something I never do, and I think it's a complete waste of time. I know I'm going to get some backlash on this. All right, fairway or four, Mitchell? Rewatching a show or a movie more than once?
I'd say that's fairway, dude. I do that shit a lot. Like, I've watched – I'm not a big movie watcher over. Like, movies are movies, but TV shows, 100%. That's definitely fairway for me.
See, dude, I'm so out on that. Like when I've seen something, I have no desire to sit down
but
and
then
waste
you pick
hours.
Up shit that you didn't see the first time. That's the difference, bro. You catch all the subtleties, and Lord knows that as much as you look at your phone, you didn't even see what happened the fucking first time. Am I wrong?
Yeah, probably not wrong.
Okay, so yeah, you're welcome. Spencer just glosses over literally everything. even our conversations, 90% of the time he has no clue what I'm even saying. So that's fairway. You're fucked up there. Yeah, you're definitely going to catch an L there. I am sticking with sports on this one. Chiefs are 2-3. They haven't been in that position since 2014, I want to say.
Those were the good old days.
Yeah, those were the good old fucking days.
Beating the shit out of them all the time.
Shortest franchise or shortest dynasty ever to exist, Kansas City Chiefs. But they're 2-3. Are they going to miss the playoffs? Is that fairway or four?
I'm going to say that's four. I don't want to say it's four. But I will say this. The Chargers look really fucking good. Justin Herbert.
Chargers are very good.
Is a wagon. The Ravens seem to just win no matter how fucking down they are. Let's not talk about
19,
it. Yeah, 21, let's not talk about it.
Whatever.
The Ravens are a good football team. The Bengals are a good football team this year, which is kind of shocking. Also, they have a franchise quarterback. We still can't find one. The Titans are eh. The Colts, fuck them. I don't care if they don't win another game the rest of the year. So when you're looking at the AFC playoff picture, the Bills are a wagon. Okay, the rest of the team in the Bills division are trash. The Patriots, trash. Sorry. The Jets, trash. The Dolphins, even bigger pile of steaming hot trash. So that three teams are out. The Raiders, fake. Their coach is an idiot. Gruden's fired. They're probably still going to beat us Sunday, but they're trash. The Broncos, the Broncos are teetering on either, like this week they win, I'm back. Fucking pushing all in, they're out, I'm picking up my chips and leaving the table and going to find a slot machine. That's how I am on the Broncos right now. That could change. The Chargers are a wagon. Okay, so we've got
holy shit, dude, I didn't ask you to summarize the whole fucking
You asked me a question, so I'm going to answer the question.
Do you think they're going
to
make the playoffs?
I'm trying
or
to
not.
Figure out if there's six better teams in the AFC than them, and I don't think there are.
No, that's fair.
I don't think there are.
But I mean, their record still has to qualify.
Yeah. But
there's teams in weaker divisions.
Okay. But still, they are 2-3. They could easily finish the season 13-4.
Yeah.
Good.
I know, but I'm just saying, and it's a hot take. This isn't factual, you know? We'll fucking catch whatever backlash we need on this, but, and I thought it was kind of a ridiculous question because I saw the headline, on ESPN. I don't think they're going to miss the playoffs. But it is just fun to entertain that idea.
Oh, that feels so fucking good.
Fucking Patrick Mahomes and
his wife and
just
his brother
screaming at the TV and his brother recording TikToks in the corner.
His wife telling
Patrick's going to be
tweeting
divorced.
That the fucking refs are never in their favor. I was like, oh my God, you've never watched
Yeah, she's
game.
Too busy recording Jackson's TikToks for him. She's definitely not watching football. But anywho, I thought that was a decent topic.
That's a decent
thought-provoking conversation starting topics.
Yeah, so. I appreciate that. I got a little too far into it.
Yeah,
I was like,
holy shit, we're getting a whole AFC summary here.
I'm trying to figure out if there were six teams better than them because seven teams make the playoffs.
Yeah,
I don't think there are.
I get that. Okay.
Yeah, especially now, even now when they're bad, I don't think there's 16.
No, I agree completely, but
Well, you
got to
throw out hot takes, you know?
Fun to talk about.
It's provocative. It gets the people going.
100%.
All right, my next fairway or four, going to golf. Hoodies and golf. They are back. Huge comeback.
Huge splash.
Huge splash. Maybe not even a comeback. They're on the come up.
Yeah, exactly.
This is a hoodie come up.
Come back.
There was never hoodies in golf before this.
Yeah.
So are you in fairway or are you out on hoodies in golf?
I love it. I think it's dope. I remember Ryan Moore was the first one to start it back in like probably 10, 12 years ago. And he caught a bunch of shit for it. He was always kind of the casual dresser. He wore Echo shoes initially. I think he probably still does if he's playing on tour. But they were one of the first like casual golf shoes. And who's he sponsored by? Is it Travis Matthew? Maybe, maybe not Travis Matthew, but one of those companies. And he was always wearing hoodies. And I think it's awesome, man. Like, why not? It's a beanie. Like, why were hoodies invented? Because it's convenient. You have a head covering when you need it, and it's right there when you don't. And I think they look badass, too, so that's a definite fairway for me. Big fan of I actually don't own a golf-specific hoodie, but
I have a Travis Matthew one, and I fucking
I definitely
love
would.
It.
Yeah.
I ordered I had a meeting, a merchandise meeting today. I ordered so many hoodies.
Of course you did. Must be nice.
We're trying to be proactive, bro. We're trying to be forward.
We're trying to, yeah, exactly. We're trying to attract the young demographic. Okay, my next fairway or four. This is a weird one. I think you're on the same page as me, but I don't think anybody I've talked to has not even been in the same ballpark as I am on this. Eating cheese and apples, like any combination of cheese and apples together, is that a fairway or four? Because I personally love that shit. Like, that's fire. It's a very Midwestern thing. Both of our sides of our family are from the Midwest, Minnesota and Iowa. And people back there put cheddar cheese on their apple pie. Personally, that sounds phenomenal. But Spencer, what do you think? Fairway or four?
So if I am talking in the non-current Spencer me, which I don't eat cheese, I'm DF, dairy-free, I might toss some of my Daiya cheese on some apple pie.
Okay, but before you're dairy-free.
I'd have to say four.
Wow.
But I haven't tried it. So I could be fairway. I could be off the trees.
We dipped grilled cheeses in applesauce growing up all the fucking
time. Okay, well, yes, that was a fire move, but you have me a little fucked up with the cheese, melted cheese on apple pie scenario. That seems like a sandwich that's now a dessert. Those two.
It's a dirt.
It's a dirt.
It's a dessert with cheese on it.
It's a sand dessert. It's a deswich.
Deswich. I think it's a deswich.
Grilled cheese and applesauce fully cheese, in.
Imagine like a panini press with two slices of apple pie with cheese in between. That's a deswich. And that sounds like it might give you diabetes, but there's a lot of sugar there. But that sounds absolutely fire. I don't know about you, but that sounds great to me.
So I'm four on it.
You're full of shit is what you are, but okay, keep
you're
going.
You're four of shit.
You're four of shit.
But yeah, so I'm out. I'm out on that.
All right.
All right, well, that's going to do it. You guys better go on to Twitter. We're going to tweet these out. Make sure you vote. We've got a little wrap up. We've got cheese and apples together. We've got the Chiefs missing the playoffs. We've got hoodies in golf, and we have rewatching movies and shows twice. So make sure you guys go in and vote for those on our Twitter. Follow us on the Twitter at DNVR_golf. Make sure you check out our TikTok also, DNVR_golf. We appreciate you guys all listening. Tell a friend or tell 10. And we'll talk to you guys next week for this episode of Big Drive Energy. I am Big Drive Spence. He is Big Drive Mitch. We are headed to the Avs game. Peace.